your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Just win.
Your team
just
every
win.
Day.
Just win.
The autumn wind is a raider. Pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
What's up, Raider Nation? Welcome into Thursday's edition of the Locked On Raiders podcast, June 24th, 2021. Your boy Q here with you. You know, you can always find me on Twitter at your boy Q254. And of course, I always got that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line wide open like some old school TV antennas, 707-654-4693. Got an action-packed show for you today on this Thursday as, again, another week just flying by, man. We're going to be into the weekend before you know it. Boom, we'll be into July before you know it and training camp. Preseason, and let's go with the regular season. Very, very excited about the first season in Vegas where Raider Nation could actually be at Allegiant Stadium. We're getting closer and closer and closer each and every day. Very, very excited about that. But coming up on today's show, which of course I'm very excited about that as well, your calls and texts straight off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line, 707-654-4693. Lots of feedback, man. Really, over the past couple days, had so many calls and so many texts, lots of great stuff. So I definitely appreciate that. We'll get to as many as possible coming up in segment number three. In segment number two, I talked about the three most impactful players on offense earlier in this week. Now it's time to talk three most impactful players on defense. That's coming up in segment number two. And I think, well, you might be surprised by the three people I picked, and that's a good thing about it. You don't have to agree with me. We can have a discussion about it, and that's what we do in June and July in the offseason. We have good discussions, and that's how we do here, regardless of anyone on this show. Anyone could disagree with anyone, but we do it in a respectful manner, and we just appreciate the healthy conversation. So that's coming up in segment number two. Here in segment number one, just kind of give you the news and the notes of the day surrounding the league and, of course, surrounding the NFL. So let's go ahead and jump right into it. So off top, let's talk about something that's going on in the NFL that I think is really, really cool and could be huge for the city of Las Vegas. And of course, the Raiders holding down in Las Vegas, they're going to get a lot of attraction. They're going to get a lot of attention because of potential events that could happen at Allegiant Stadium. And that's part of having that brand new stadium. That's part of having a dome. That's part of being in a destination location where people are going to want to go. And this has to do with the NFL Combine. It could actually be on the move. And you know, it's been in Indianapolis for the longest. Well, Dan Graziano from ESPN, he actually put out a tweet on Wednesday saying the NFL will start accepting bids from other cities besides Indy to host the scouting combine starting in 2023. It remains in Indy for 2022. After that, it's up for grabs. So can you imagine the scouting combine taking place at Allegiant Stadium each year? And maybe it wouldn't be every year, but I guarantee you one thing, scouts, coaches, players, you know, rookies, all those guys are going to want to be in Vegas and hanging out and have that event. And the thing about it is, and I know I talk to John McClain every single week from the Houston Chronicle talking all things NFL, and he's been covering the NFL for many, many, many years, more years than I've been alive. I mean, that's how long he's been covering the NFL. And he always tells me the one event you need to go to, Q, you've been to a lot of events, Super Bowls, you've been to drafts, you know, you've been to all kinds of different events. You need to go to the Combine. That is where all the GMs get together. That's where all the coaches get together. That's where all the scouts get together. That's where all the agents get together. And there is a lot of great relationships built there at the Combine, not to mention a lot of things, a lot of transactions, a lot of fun stuff that you'll learn about across the NFL goes on at the Scouting Combine. Could you imagine if that took place in Las Vegas? Everything that John McClain has always told me about it would be on steroids. Anything that happens in Vegas is way bigger than anything that can help happen across the rest of the NFL just because Vegas has the potential to be that much bigger. So, man, if the scouting combine could be in Las Vegas each and every year, and again, maybe it's not every year, maybe it's every other year, maybe it's, you know, whatever, I don't know. I just know that it's been in Indianapolis for so long, and people love to go there, and the one of the reasons why they love to go there is because they have, I guess, not underground tunnels, but they have buildings that are connected. So when it's cold, it doesn't matter because you could just go from one building to the next, but you're still indoors. Well, in Vegas, you'll be fine. It won't be a big deal at all. It doesn't matter when it is, even in, you know, January, February, whatever, it's not going to be that cold. You'll be inside for the combine, and there's so many things to do in Vegas. It would be out of this world. It would just be unbelievable. So I'm really looking forward to that. That's a possibility. Teams and cities are going to start bidding on the scouting combine to start in their city as of 2023. Also, a date to look out for is July 23rd, and that is when applications are due to host the 2023 Combine, Super Bowl 60 or 61, and the 2025 Draft, as well as express general interest in hosting the 2024 through 2027 Combines, Super Bowl 62 through 64, and the 2026 through 2029 Draft. So July 23rd, that's about a month from yesterday. That is the date when a lot of different proposals need to be into the NFL so they can start looking into different host cities. And I'm telling you right now, Raider Nation, just believe that Las Vegas is going to be one of those cities that's going to end up hosting a lot of events. You know the draft's going to be there next year, and of course the Super Bowl is going to happen quick, fast, and in a hurry. As soon as they're able to be there, they're going to have the Super Bowl in Las Vegas, and it's going to be unbelievable. Will you be there? Will I be there? Well, we'll all talk about that at a later time. But man, looking forward to that. And just know, July 23rd is the date that teams have to have their bid in. Cities have to have their bid in for all these different events. Another piece of news I wanted to get to was that players can opt out of the 2021 season. Now, back in 2020, when COVID was, you know, just the biggest conversation piece, well, there was a lot of players that opted out of the season. As a matter of fact, total of 67 players opted out of the 2020 season because of COVID, right? They just decided, hey, it's not worth it. I don't want to take the risk. I'm going to opt out. Well, players can actually opt out of the 2021 season. They have till 4 p.m. Eastern next Friday. That's July 2nd. That's a very important date. July 2nd. Very, very important date. Just put that on your calendar. They have till that date at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Central, and of course 1 p.m. on the West Coast to inform their team they're going to opt out of the 2021 season. Players that are deemed high risk for COVID are, again, entitled to a $350,000 stipend, but voluntary opt-outs, just people that just say, hey, you know what? I don't think it's worth it. I'm not going to play. They won't be compensated at all. The stipend for voluntary opt-outs was $150,000 last season. So this year, for voluntary opt-outs, you get absolutely nothing. And also, one more nugget that has to do with opting out in 2021. It's reported from Tom Pelissero of the NFL Network. He said that voluntary opt-out is only available for players who executed their contracts prior to October 1st, 2020, which means all rookies in 2021 are disqualified. A rookie may opt out if they're classified as high risk, but the team still owns their rights. So it won't go against any years that they've been in the league. And as it was last year, all opt-out decisions are final. So you can't opt out and then change your mind and say, yeah, you know what? Never mind. I want to opt back in. Nope. There ain't no opt-in. Once you opt out, you're out. And my final little note I got for you for segment number one of today's Locked On Raiders podcast news and notes of the day is really just I want to encourage you to go read a piece on The Athletic. Vic Tafer puts it out. And look, I don't get paid to promote The Athletic. I don't do any of that. But when I see something that I find pretty interesting, I like to bring it to the table because, well, sometimes you might miss it. And it's kind of just what I do. I kind of search for all kind of information and try to bring as much as possible to the table. Because, again, there's not a ton of news right now. There's not a lot of transactions going on. But still, I think it's kind of interesting when you find something that's worth taking a look at. So on The Athletic, which I do love The Athletic, Vic Tafer put out a piece talking about bulked up Yannick Ngakoue and Quentin Jefferson reunite on Raiders defense. This is going to be fun. There's a ton of conversation about Yannick Ngakoue. There's a ton of conversation about Max Crosby. There's a ton about that defensive line and who's going to step up and do what they got to do. Not a ton of conversation about Quentin Jefferson, who is a defensive tackle that came over from Buffalo in free agency in the offseason. He played 16 games last season, had 3 sacks, and has 10.5 total sacks since entering the league in 2016. He's played in 55 total games. And again, he's a defensive tackle. He's not an edge rusher. He's a dude in the middle. And so just a little piece of what is said in The Athletic. He says, Yannick is one of the best pass rushers in the NFL right now. He brings that intensity. He's going to bring some pressure and help relieve Max, free Max up so other teams can't key in on one guy. Then hopefully I can bring some interior pressure as well. We should have a good mix out there. I'm excited to see how all this comes together. Then he also goes on to say. It's a very young team. They have a lot of energy and a lot of upside. And I just felt it was the right place to come to, bring my veteran presence and awareness, and just kind of help these guys develop. And we could have something special brewing here. That's Quentin Jefferson, first-year Raider. He's playing that interior line. And, you know, sometimes I talk about Solomon Thomas quite a bit just because that's the big name, former first-round draft pick. But Quentin Jefferson also could bring the goods. And if he got three sacks in 2020 from the interior position in Buffalo, can you imagine adding that to the mix? I think we're going to see 8 to 10 sacks from Unique Ngakoue. And when I say we, I'm talking about the fan base. I think we're going to see 8 to 10 from Unique Ngakoue, 8 to 10 from Max Crosby. That's 20 right there, total, right, max. If you max out, that's 20. And then if you can get 3 to 5 from Quentin Jefferson, that's 25. If you can get 3 to 5 from, you know, anyone else, that's, you know what I mean? Just like there's really an opportunity for this defensive line to be really, really good. And they only came up with 21 sacks in 2020. So I think that this team has a chance to really do good. And it starts up front with the defensive line. I think they can do it. They just got to put it all together. I think Quentin Jefferson is going to be a guy that may surprise Raider Nation about how good he can be. So if you get a chance, go ahead and check out that piece on The Athletic by Vic Tafer talking about a bulked up Unique Ngakoue who did shed some weight and really put on some strong muscle. I think that's going to be a good addition. And then it's called Bulked Up Unique Ngakoue and Quentin Jefferson Reunite on Raiders Defense. This is going to be fun. You can find that on The Athletic. So that's all I got for you for segment number one of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. News and notes of the day. Coming up in segment number two, three most impactful players that I think are on the Raiders defense in 2021. Talk all about that coming up in the next segment. Before I get to that, though, I do want to tell you about betonline.ag. They're the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sporting action. Baseball season's in full effect. NHL, UFC, MMA, NBA. I mean, the NBA playoffs are incredible. You saw what Atlanta did on Wednesday night? Man, if you didn't, I don't know what you're missing out on, man. The Hawks are doing some damn thing. Of course, the Phoenix Suns are doing their thing as well. But either way you look at it, man, before the next three-pointer, the next slam dunk, the next goal, the next knockout, the next home run, the next strikeout, head on over to betonline.ag on your laptop or mobile device. Check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Get off the sidelines and get into the game. Your team's on a run in the playoffs, you need to be on a run in the playoffs. Again, head on over to the website using your laptop or mobile device, sign up today, and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit if you use the promo code Locked On. So that's betonline.ag, promo code Locked On with your first deposit. Betonline.ag is your online sportsbook experts. Segment number two, it's on the way.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, Raider Nation, here we are. Segment number two of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Time to talk about the three most impactful players on the Raiders defense in 2021. And of course, we all know, man, that the defense is the Achilles heel of the Raiders. Everyone knows that's been the big conversation of the offseason, which I'll tell you right now, it's been great that that's been the conversation and not Derek Carr every single day, every single week, every other month. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, man, talking about Derek Carr is such low-hanging fruit. You could definitely do that. And I know I've brought up Derek Carr. I know we've talked about Derek Carr. We have discussions about Derek Carr, but it's not just the constant, you know, beating yourself over the head with it. I mean, like, Derek Carr this, Derek Carr that. I mean, man, I get tired of hearing the dude's name. So glad that we've been able to have a lot of different conversations that have to do with other parts of the team that have nothing to do with the quarterback. And today is one of those days as we're talking about the Raiders defense in 2021, the most three impactful players. Now, earlier in the week, talked about the three most impactful players on offense. And again, didn't talk about Derek Carr. Talked about new center Andre James taking over for Rodney Hudson. Talked about whatever or whoever the right guard is going to be, whether it be Denzel Good or if it's going to be John Simpson. Whoever earns that right guard position, that's going to be number two. And then Alex Leatherwood, the rookie, who's supposed to start at right tackle on day one. So those are the guys that I chose for offense. So let's talk about defense, because defense has got to get it done or got to step their game up in 2021. So let's go ahead and jump right into it. Of course, when you think of the Raiders defense, you think about guys getting after the quarterback, and the Raiders have addressed that in free agency. They've assembled another defensive line, brought a lot of guys in on a one-year deal. And of course, the guy I've been pounding the table for the longest, if you've been listening to the show for a while, you know his defensive end, Unique Ngakoue. So I'm going to put him at number one. He's got a 2-year deal. He's got a fully guaranteed contract. He's got to be a guy that is consistent. And he's done that throughout the course of his career. And this is why I'm excited about Yannick Ngakoue. Throughout the course of his career, he's been a guy that you can count on that's going to get you at least 8 sacks a season. At least. You know, and 8 sacks in 2020 would have led the Raiders in sacks. So I'm excited about him. I know he's a liability when it comes to the run, but he's a dude that I believe can get to the quarterback early. He can get to the quarterback often. And the Raiders need as many dudes as possible to get to the quarterback. So I'm penciling him in. I want to say he's going to give you 8, no doubt about it. I want to pencil him at 10 and say, look, that's what he needs to get. He needs to prove that he's the guy. I mean, he went from Jacksonville to Minnesota to Baltimore, now through the Raiders, and a lot of folks are saying, wait a minute, why has he been on so many teams in such a short little time? He needs to go out there and prove it. So I think that really Yannick Ngakoue kind of goes without saying. Talked about it a lot on this show that the Raiders defensive line only had 21 sacks in 2020. He needs to get 10. I mean, I've been saying 8, but he needs to get 10 in 2021, just to be a big chunk of that. I think Max Crosby on the other side will do his thing, give you 8 to 10. So again, I think you're in a good position with those two dudes. But Yannick Ngakoue, the most impactful player, and he should be the most impactful player on the Raiders defense in 2021. That's number one. Number two, another free agent, another guy that the Raiders brought in by way of free agency, in my opinion, just my opinion, is linebacker Corey Littleton. And on Wednesday's show, we had people calling in talking about Corey Littleton. You've heard Gus Bradley talk about Corey Littleton. I think that he is a really good player. And we've had people call in and say, Corey Littleton's not good. They say he's just not a good player. He got over on the Raiders, got a big free agency deal. I don't believe that. I think Corey Littleton, when he came into the league as an undrafted free agent, worked his way up from special teams, got himself on the field, and yes, the Rams have a lot of defensive studs, especially Aaron Donald, but there's a lot of players on that defense that can help you be a little bit better. But I do think Corey Littleton has the work ethic, and more importantly, he has the want to be really good. He was in a system in 2020 that was just unbelievable. And when I mean unbelievable, I don't mean that in a good way. I mean unbelievable, like it just doesn't make any sense why it was so difficult for so many defenders to pick up. That Paul Gunther scheme, it just was not very good, you know, and I like continuity. I like the fact that the Raiders have these coaches on long-term deals so they don't have to worry about losing their job. But Paul Gunther was a guy that probably should have been relieved of his duties a lot earlier than he was. And finally, John Gruden decided to pull the trigger and move on from him. And that just, obviously, it was too little too late. But I just think Corey Littleton never had a chance because Paul Gunther's scheme was so confusing. You could see it out there. You could see in his body language that he had no idea what the hell he was doing. So I think in 2021, with the new coaching staff, with Gus Bradley, with Ron Miles, and with linebacker coach Richard Smith, is going to be a big-time addition. I just think that he is that good. You know, 33 years plus experience in the NFL, he is a really, really good linebackers coach, and I think that's going to help Corey Littleton in a major way where he doesn't have to think. And, you know, again, and I played this soundbite on Wednesday's show, is just Gus Bradley talking about maybe possibly putting Corey Littleton on the outside and having him be a guy that sets the edge and also drop back in coverage because he's fast. I think that all of a sudden, Gus Bradley's eyes have gotten big and said, man, Corey Littleton, this guy could be a player in my defense. He could be a big-time player. And I mentioned this way before the draft, that if you go back through Gus Bradley's defenses, he's always had a big-time player at the linebacker position. That's why I thought that he had to go into the draft and go get a stud. And I thought they would be okay to go get a Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah or a Micah Parsons if available. You know, some big-time Zaven Collins, big-time linebacker that was available because you need a big-time linebacker, and he's always had one in his defense. But maybe he looks at Corey Littleton and says, you know what? He can be that guy. He could be my Bobby Wagner. He can be that, you know, KJ Wright. He could be that dude that I need at the linebacker position to be out there making big time plays. So I'm excited about Corey Littleton, and maybe I'm falling for a banana in the tailpipe. Maybe halfway through the season, if it's not working out, I'll come back and say, hey, man, Corey Littleton stinks. That was a bust. That was a bad free agent pickup, and you got to move on from. I have no problem saying that if that is the case. But just like the rest of the defense, I'm giving them a pass on 2020 because, again, Paul Gunther and that coaching staff just did not do their part. They set these players up for failure. So I think Corey Littleton has an opportunity to rebound and show everyone why the Raiders went out and made him a free agency priority headed into the 2020 season. So Corey Littleton is my number two guy as far as most impactful players on the Raiders defense in 2021. And the thing about it is, I got guys at every level. I had Unique Ngakoue, number one, defensive line. Corey Littleton, linebacker, number two. You know, he's on that second line of defense. And the third string of defense is that back end. And it's a lot to put on a safety and a lot to put on a rookie, but that's where I'm going. I'm going with Trayvon Merrick, the second round pick out of TCU. I think he's going to be that Earl Thomas in Gus Bradley's defense. It's going to allow Jonathan Abram to come up and be that Cam Chancellor. But I think Trayvon Merrick and his ball hawking ability, with his ability to kind of cover sideline to sideline and that eraser on the back end, I think really if he figures it out early, and again, it's a big if because he's a rookie. If he figures this thing out early, he's got an opportunity to be a big-time player. I've mentioned it before, and I said it a couple years ago when Josh Jacobs was a rookie. I said he was going to be Offensive Rookie of the Year. I still believe he should have been. I think giving it to Kyler Murray was robbery and was just really a gift because he's a quarterback. I think Josh Jacobs earned that. I think that safety Trayvon Merrick has a huge opportunity to be Defensive Rookie of the Year for the Raiders and really be that ball-hawking guy on the back end that the Raiders can have for years. I mean, think about that. They have not had a ball-hawking safety in a very, very long time. I mean, they had Reggie Nelson. That was the last guy at the back end that was really a ball-hawk. And now I know Charles Woodson was there when he converted the second time he was a safety, and he was a ball-hawk as well. Of course, C. Wood, that's why he's in the Hall of Fame or going into the Hall of Fame this year. But just, I mean, that wasn't his natural position. He was a corner first, then he went to the Green Bay. We all know the history of C. Wood. But Reggie Nelson was the last guy that was really a ball-hawk. If Trayvon Merrick could come in and be a ball hawk early in his career, can you imagine what could happen throughout the course of his career with the Raiders? And what a relief it would be to have that dude on the back end. So I think he's going to be a big, impactful player. So those are the three guys that I'm really, really looking at. I think Gus Bradley is looking at Trayvon Merrick as, man, you are a godsend. You are going to be my Earl Thomas without all the issues. Trayvon Merrick got a really good head on his shoulders. So definitely think that a lot of Raider fans are going to be excited what they see from Trayvon Merrick. And sooner rather than later, you're going to see a lot of Merrick jerseys in Allegiant Stadium. So those are the three guys I got for you. Unique Ngakoue, defensive end, number one. Corey Littleton, linebacker, number two. And Trayvon Merrick, safety, number three. Most impactful players on the Raiders defense in 2021. What do you think, or who do you think are the most impactful players on the defensive side of the ball? Let me know. 707-654-4693. Your calls and texts are coming up next. Before I get to that, though, I do want to tell you about Built Bar. And Built Bar is something that you already know. I've been telling you about for a very, very long time, right? They've got 9 flavors to choose from right now. Coconut, salted caramel, coconut almond, double chocolate, cherry, peanut butter brownie, raspberry, mint brownie. I mean, they've got it all covered like an old school Jimmy hat. 9 delicious flavors. All you got to do is get that mix box if you like all of them, like I do. I think all those are great. You get the mix box, you're going to get 2 of each of the 9 flavors, 18 total bars. They're soft, they're easy to chew, 100% covered in chocolate, and tastes like a candy bar, but it's a protein bar. It's really good for you. So, I mean, how often do you get something that tastes really good and is good for you? Well, Built Bar does exactly that. If you want to go to the website right now, BuiltBar.com, check them out, decide what you want. When you do check out, make sure you use the promo code LOCKED15. It's going to save you 50% off your order just like that. LOCKED15, BuiltBar.com will save you 15% off your order, again, at BuiltBar.com. Segment number 3, it's on the way.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Here we go, Raider Nation. Segment number 3 of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Your calls and texts straight off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line, 707-654-4693. That's the number. You can always tweet at me as well, at your boy Q254. First off, got my man Dana from Boca Raton. He's calling to talk about some of the stuff we've been talking about on the show, including Damon Arnett, the defensive line, and the end of the game. Here we go, Dana from Boca Raton.
Hey, Q, it's Dana from Boca Raton. Just wanted to follow up again on some of the things you've been talking about. I have to agree with many of the callers. AAQ, I heard about Vinny's show that a big announcement's coming and nobody's more deserving. The hardest working man in business, so far as I can figure. And having you make a big announcement soon on the radio will be well looked upon by all of us as you're our guy. Wanted to say about Damon Arnett. Everybody's talking about he's a press man corner and this is more of a zone defense, but I hear a lot of this press man bail, and I see a lot of when I heard Mr. Richard Sherman talking about where they were getting up and they press as part of their technique in this cover three, and they use that press man coverage to get up in there, get grabby, get the guys off their routes, and then they just make sure that they stay deep on them. I don't exactly understand how it goes, even though I do know a little bit about defense. I'm trying to understand more, but I have a feeling that between Ron Miles and Bradley, they're going to be teaching Arnett just fine. He's going to be just fine in the system. He's a dog, and he may not be the alpha of the defense, but he's one of those dogs that we need. As far as the question you and Vinny had about defensive line, I'd like to add my 2 cents on it. You know that Bradley had his system and with Seattle where he had those 3 big defensive linemen and had Red Bryant, who was like that big DE that he talks about. Kind of like a 3-4 defensive end. It's a 2-gap player. And then he has the Leo, like I was talking about on the last call, which is that get after it on the weak side defensive end. But once the offense spreads out, just once it gets into the passing downs, he usually does a lot of that. Even Joey Bosa kicked inside a little bit. And so I would expect Cleve Farrell to be kicking inside on passing downs, like many of us talked about, being that run stopper on running downs, and then having Hankins, who's really a run-down defensive tackle, coming out, and then it's those interior defensive linemen. And so when we're talking tomorrow about 3 most impactful players for the defense, I think it's going to be Unique Ngakoue. Whoever gets the most in interior defensive end, tackle, defensive line, and Jonathan Abrams. So if you were to ask me, 1 minute left, playing the Chiefs, who's my 4? I got Unique and Max on the outside, and I got Solomon Thomas and Klee on the inside, doing that 3 technique, getting after it, and putting Pat Mahomes on his back. Catch you next time, Q.
There he goes. That's Dana from Boca Raton. Thank you so much for that call, my man. I appreciate you. And yeah, man, Damon Arnett's got all ability in the world. I have not soured on him. I know there's a lot of reports out there that sound like the Raiders have. I don't believe that. I don't believe that after 1 year. That would just be silly. I think that he'll be fine. He just got to go out there and work it out in training camp. As far as the 4 on the defensive line of crunch time, you say Unique Ngakoue, Max Crosby, obviously they're on the ends. You got Cleve Farrell and then Solomon Thomas. I mean, that sounds salty, you know, and I will say, Quentin Jefferson, the guy that I talked about in segment number 1, he did that piece with Vic Taffer from The Athletic. Maybe a guy you want to look out for as well. So thank you so much for that call, Dana. Definitely appreciate you. Next up, got a text from Border Jumper Raider. It says, Q, Border Jumper Raider, kudos and respect to Carl Nassib. That took courage. You mentioned keeping the defensive line fresh. What about the offense? Will Tom Cable be doing the same as far as keeping players fresh, or will the Raiders stick with an anchored front 5? I'm sure they'll keep it fresh with some kind of rotation. I just would be curious about what Q thinks. Thanks. The Raider Nation appreciates you providing content Monday through Friday from Border Jumper Raider. Thank you so much for that text, my man. And, yeah, it did take a lot of courage from Carl Nassib. Some folks kind of poo-pooing on it. Not me. I think it's great. I don't care what your beliefs are. I think that was a big deal for Carl Nassib to come out and do what he did. As far as the offensive line, yeah, the defensive line's got to stay fresh. The offensive line, man, you don't want to have a healthy rotation. You want them to be anchored front 5. You really do. Now, you want guys that can step in there and hold it down if they need to, but you want to have that same cohesive unit, because that's the thing about an offensive line. They're at their best when it's the same guys and they're working together, because the right hand knows what the left hand is doing. And when I say the right hand and left hand, I mean my right hand and your left hand. Like, we have to know what each other is doing, what we're thinking, what we're going to do next. That's how great offensive lines work. So you don't want it to be a healthy rotation. You want it to be an anchored front 5. When it becomes a little hairy, a little scary, is when you have a bunch of injuries like the Raiders had in 2020, and Tom Cable's got to just go ahead and fix a flat or put a little bit of a gorilla glue on a situation, you know. And I'm not an infomercial guy, but I'll tell you right now, all those infomercials that say this works, that works, and the other, I don't buy any of it. But that, you get my point. You've got to put a little something on it when you have to, you know, when you have to put a quick repair on it. So that's what I'm talking about. You want that thing to be a front 5 that is solid and cohesive all year long. So thank you so much for that text, my man. I appreciate you. Next up, I got a call from Tim G, calling out of Virginia. He's calling to talk about the Carl Nassib situation and Derek Carr reaching out to Carl on his own, then wants to talk about the 3 most impactful players he thinks are on offense. Here he is, Tim G, calling out of Virginia.
Hey, Q, this is Tim G from Virginia. This is my second time calling in. Hey, I just had to comment on a couple things real quick. The Carl Nassib situation, him coming out saying that he was gay, whatever works for the young man to get a peace of mind. That's a good thing. Derek Carr, he had to take that situation, and I'm not trying to say I speak for him, but as a Christian, I understand. Taking his time, making sure what he said to Carl was very important, because as a Christian, yes, I do not believe in being gay, okay? But we also got to show love for our fellow man. And a whole lot of times trying to say that in a text could get turned all kinds of ways. So hats off to Derek for reaching out the way he did, just to make sure all the air is pure and clean, and we can move forward as one with the love and the Raider Nation. The other part is the offensive line. The three most impactful things you said, players, not the offensive line, but those three, I think it's the whole offense, period. Because how many times did we give up 8 to 10 play drives and the defense held them to a field goal? And then the offense go right back out there and three and out. You know, it happens so many times. So the offense itself is going to have to step up big time. And I know you've said that before. I agree with you. But we cannot let our defense stay out there 12, 14 play drives. We don't give them any rest. We get three and outs back to back to back. Now we're down big time points, and that's just not how the Raiders were built. That's just my two cents. Hats off to Raider Nation. Most love for everyone. Hey, committed to excellence.
There he goes. That's Tim G from Virginia. Thank you for the call, my man. I appreciate you. And, yeah, I mean, Carr's got to be calculated and careful with his words, you know, or feelings on Carl Nassib. And I said it on Wednesday's show. He really didn't have to publicly come out and say anything. He could have hit Carl Nassib up and talked to him in a private setting and never sent a text message, or his people sent a text message to Vinny Bonsignore and say anything and put anything. He didn't ever have to tell us anything or let it be known what he was talking about. As far as the three most impactful guys on offense, you really can't say all 11 on offense, because you got to focus on three. So 11 is not going to work. It just won't. You know what I mean? So I know what you mean, but when you're focusing on three, that's all you got to do is three. And I gave four, but I put a slash at the right guard position, whoever earns that right guard position in training camp. So thank you, Tim, for that text or that call. I mean, appreciate you. Next up, and we'll close the show out with this, got a text from Grump Ass Mexican. It says, Q, Grump Ass Mexican here, poolside in Idaho, and it's hot out here, man. Let me tell y'all, not used to this weather, 100 degrees right now. Just listened to your show on Monday about Arnett. Great show like always. Q, everyone's talking about how big it would be if Arnett loses his starting job to Hayward, which I agree. It could be bad, but he was hurt off and on last season, like you and others have stated multiple times. Here's my questions for you and the nation. Was Prince not as good as Hayward that he couldn't win the starting job over Arnett last year? Now, which brings me to my next question. With all the praise and hype Max is getting lately, let's say he becomes a starter opposite side of Unique, which pushes Farrell inside, or he becomes a backup. Does that mean Gruden missed on another player and Farrell is in third year now? That could be a huge setback. Anyways, Q, I don't know how you do it, man, but I try to listen to other people talk Raiders. It's not the same. I know sometimes you're just repeating what others have said, but you make it sound interesting, not like you're just reading what's in front of you. Hope everyone had a great Father's Day, as well as everyone in the nation. That's from Grump Ass Mexican. And, you know, the thing about Prince Amakamura, who was with the Raiders in 2020, I thought he could hold down that corner position until Arnett was ready. I think that the Raiders tried to force feed Arnett to the Wolves. I think they tried to put him out there because he showed a little bit, he flashed a little bit in training camp, and they said, you know what, we don't need this veteran, this is the guy. I think that they kind of, not overthought it, but they just kind of gave Arnett a little bit more credit than really he should have received, and it kind of backfired on them. So I think this year they're like, we're not going to fall for a banana in the tailpipe again. We're going to go bring in Casey Hayward, who knows Gus Bradley's scheme, knows what to do out there, knows how to operate, and could actually help him a little bit. So I don't think that Casey Hayward being there is a bad thing. I think it's only going to help Arnett get better. As far as Clelin Ferrell, I don't think that he's going to be a backup. I think he's going to be a starter. He's a guy who sets the edge really well. You know, Max, now he can earn his spots as well on the field, and depends on what packages you're talking about. You know, Max could be that guy as well. But Clelin Ferrell, the good thing about him, he could be inside or outside, and he could still be on the field. So I don't think that you have to worry about him being, you know, a backup and being a huge setback. And look, when it comes to talking Raiders, man, that's just what I do. And a lot of folks could talk Raiders, and a lot of people talk Raiders from a different point of view, and that's fine. I respect that. I just do me, and hopefully it's entertaining to you, and it sounds like it is, so I definitely appreciate you. And you know what? Let me go ahead and hit one more call before we get up out of here, and this, I think, is going to be a special one, so I want to kind of end the show with this one. Selena in the OC, she's calling to talk about a Locked On Raiders podcast party at Allegiant Stadium. And if you've been around with us for a long, long time, you remember how we closed out the Oakland Coliseum for the Raiders and the Jacksonville Jaguars. That was December 15th, I do believe, back in 2019. And we had a hell of a party. Well, she's talking about a hell of a party potential that's going to go on at Allegiant Stadium. So here she is, Selena in the OC. And please believe we'll have a lot more details than just this call, but this is really kind of getting the ball started. So check this out.
What up, Tupac? It's Selena with in the OC, calling regarding we're finalizing some details on getting a great Locked On Raiders party going. So I'm calling in for everyone to save the date. October 9th is going to be the date. It's going to be the day before the home game against the Chicago Bears. There is a venue, there's actually several venues within Allegiant Stadium, and it looks like we're going to be able to secure one of the venues which has a 300-person occupancy. We're finalizing those details. It's going to have food, beer and wine. We can have a cash bar for other alcoholic beverages. We'll have some vegan options, some Raider cheerleaders. It'll be happy hour. Happy hour time frame from 4 o'clock to 7 o'clock. And so we put together a questionnaire to kind of interview, first of all, people who are interested in going. It's going to be about, we're estimating about $250 per head right now, based off of the Raiderettes, beer and wine, and the food, and obviously the facility. Because it's the day before game day, the venue that we're looking at that's inside Allegiant Stadium is on the field level. So it's awesome. You can see outside of the field level, and as they're staging for the game the next day, them putting in the turf into the venue as well. Actually, when I did the stadium tour, I walked the facility, and it's incredible. Where this venue is going to be a whole wraparound bar and booths and tables, and it's going to be so much fun. So I'm trying to get the interest list going to see who is interested, the price per head, about $250. We can also add more things to it, such as we can get Raider players or alumni if people are interested in paying a little bit more. Again, it's a 300-person occupancy. The date is October 9th. It's a Saturday from 4 to 7. So if you can email at lockedonraiders@yahoo, I can send you the questionnaire to get the entrance list going. First come, first serve. And we'll kind of go from there. And then I'll call in with more updates as we get a little bit closer to securing the date. All right. So thank you. Talk to you soon. lockedonraiders@yahoo.com. Bye.
There she goes, Selena in the OC, talking about a heck of a party at Allegiant Stadium. And man, when I say it sounds like a heck of a party, I mean it sounds like one heck of a party. Definitely going to be all over that. We'll continue to get more details going forward. You know, the closer that we get, we'll work them out. But yeah, if you want some more information, like Selena said, LockedOnRaiders@yahoo.com. That's LockedOnRaiders@yahoo.com. Let's get the ball rolling right now. We got a lot of things coming down the pipeline. I got a lot of things coming down the pipeline that we'll talk about next week that I'm very, very excited about. We'll bring to the table. And you know how I say, we're cooking with grease? That's what we're going to be doing here on the Locked On Raiders podcast. So that's all I got for you for today's show. Coming up tomorrow, we'll close out the week really, really strong. I talked to Cody Rourke earlier this week, talking all things Broncos and Raiders. Did a little, you know, June-style crossover edition. So we'll have that to close out the week. That'll be a good conversation. That was a good conversation, so I look forward to that. Plus, we'll have more news and notes of the day. And, of course, we'll have some calls and texts straight off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line. That's all coming up to close out the week. So until then, Raider Nation, stay safe, stay strong, take care of your family, do what you got to do. And most importantly, as always, just win, baby.